left off last week, we were discussing the question of Zechiyah, particularly the relationship between the principle of Zochah Gadol Shel Lefanav to the principle of Shlichus. So there are some of the Rishonim who said that it's pretty much the same principle. Zechiyah is mitam Shlichus. Shlichus means that I can do something on behalf of you if I was officially appointed. And Zechiyah means that I can do something on your behalf even if I wasn't appointed, provided that it's something beneficial. That's the approach to the Rishonim, Zechiyah mitam Shlichus. Those Rishonim who say Zechiyah is la mitam Shlichus say, the two look like they resemble one another, but there's really nothing to do with one another. Shlichus means when there's a formal appointment. Zechiyah means I do it on my own. The two are not related to one another. Two different halachas. Zechiyah is labitam shlichus. My nafkamina. So they say one of the big nafkamina is that the Mishnah point out is, do all the limitations of shlichus carry over to Zechiyah? So one of the big limitations of shlichus is that ein shlichus lekatan, that a katan cannot appoint a shliach. The question is, can I have Zechiyah on behalf of katan? Can I do something beneficial on behalf of katan or not? So if Zechiyah is mitam shlichus, then the answer is no. Zechiyah is la mitam shlichus. So we have no reason to believe that a katan would be excluded from the dinim of Zechiyah. So I could do something potentially beneficial on behalf of katan. So what's the answer to the question? Is it yes or no? So it's a beferish in Gemara. The only problem is it's not beferish what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that Zechiyah works for katan. That's beferish in the Gemara. That yesh to katan Zechiyah. What's unclear in the Gemara is that a din min haTorah or is that just a special Tekharas HaChamim? So half the Rishonim interpreted the Gemara in Bav Metzias, meaning it's a din min haTorah, that Zechiyah for Katan exists with Daraisa, because Zechiyah is not limited, not bound by the limitations of Shlichos. And the other half the Rishonim said, no, that it's only a din min haTorah, it's a special Tekharas to make life easier for the Ketanim, we can give gifts to the Ketanim, but Meikim Mikra Din, Zechiyah is not really going to work for Katan, because Zechiyah is limited the same way that Shlichos is limited. So at the end of the day, it's like the Rishonim, how to understand the Gemara in Maseches Bava Metzia in the fifth parak. So the most important application of this principle of Maisa is the Gemara Maseches Ksubas. When the Gemara Daf Yud Aleph and Ksubas discusses the principle of Zechiyah as it plays out in terms of Achos Geirus. The Gemara is a Chiddush Gadol, Amar Rav Huna Ge'a Katan, Bilnos Aldas Beizdin. That you can have a child who's under the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah, a non-Jewish child, the Beizdin is going to come and going to convert the child, they'll put them into the mikvah, or for a boy they can give him a bris and put him into the mikvah together, and then hocus pocus the person becomes Jewish. And the Gemara says, how does that work? So the Gemara says, no problem, Zochel Yadam Shlo B'Fonav. It's based on the principle of Zechiyah, it's based on the principle of being Jewish is beneficial, and therefore we're going to do something that's beneficial for the person, even though he didn't technically appoint us to do so. He or she is a Katan or Ketana. And nevertheless, it's going to work. So Ger Koton is an extension of the principle of Zach Ve'Adam Shlo B'Fonav. So come to Rishonim in Ksubas Daf Yud Aleph, led by the Tosfos there, and other Rishonim, say, wait a second, let's make a cheshbon. How does this work? How are we going to accept the principle of Ger Koton as based on the idea of Zechiyah? If Zochel Lekatan is min haTorah, so then I understand that it works because Geirus. If Zochel Lekatan is only min derabbanan, it's a Tachanas HaChamim, according to those who shown above Metzia, that min haTorah, Zechiyah is mitam Shlichus. There's no Shlichus for Katan, so there's no Zechiyah for Katan. So how in the world does this Geirus get off the ground? So the whole Geirus should only be min derabbanan. We can talk with the guy's Jewish min derabbanan. It's a very strange idea. Tosfos Yisrael has such a possibility. It's a very strange, strange concept. Min haTorah is not Jewish min derabbanan Israel. That doesn't make any sense. So what, Pshat? So how do we understand what's going on here? So again, the question is only according to half the Rishon. If Yehuda Zechiyah is la mitam shlichus, and the question doesn't get off the ground. But if Yehuda Zechiyah is mitam shlichus, and therefore a katan is excluded from Zechiyah as he is excluded from shlichus, how do you understand the sugya of ger katan? So comes Tosfos Ksubas and suggests that maybe this type of a Zechiyah is a different kind of a Zechiyah. Maybe we can further break down different kinds of Zechiyah. Sometimes you have Zechiyah where it's not a clear-cut zechus. It looks like a zechus. It appears to be something which is beneficial. And then you have another kind of zechus where it's mamish, feirish, it's obvious, there's no question, nobody would ever question whether this is an absolute zechus or not. So Tosfos says that maybe when the level of zechus is not so high, so that's already a tremendous chiddush in Torah, that it almost looks like a chov, it looks like something which is not so beneficial. So then the Torah is mechadish, an unbelievable thing called zoch le'adam shlo b'fonav, but that works within the parameters of shlichus. When you're dealing with something which is a schus gomor, something that everybody would be happy with, everyone would consider to be beneficial, something that's objectively so beneficial to the person, then maybe Zechiyah works on its own, stands on its own 2 feet. And my nefkabita that it stands on its own 2 feet, the fact that it could work even for a katan. So Tosfos says that just because usually Zechiyah is limited not the Ketanim. Usually Zechiya min HaTorah doesn't apply for Katan. Maybe not all Zechiya are created equals. Maybe there are gradations, there are levels within Zechiya, depending on what degree of Zechus it is. The problem with Tosis, one of the problems with Tosis is that Tosis is committing the notion of a Ger Katan to being labeled as a Zechus Gomor. It's something which is so beneficial, something which is so great. Okay. We know Baruch Hashem, you know, we know Torah Mitzvahs is the greatest thing in the world, and we were never traded in for anything. Those were the drush yesterday about the ice cream versus the not ice cream. We spoke a little bit about the world of Machshava. But in the world of Halacha, can we really say with a straight face that all people in the world consider to be Jewish to be better than not Jewish? I mean, we know it's called the Zchus, but to say that it's called the Zchus Gomor, I mean, there are some people out there who may not want to be Jewish. So to say that it's an absolute Zchus Gomor, Elishim Safek, and therefore breaks all the rules of Zochan, and even for Katan, I mean, the Baal HaTos said such Abbas HaTorah, maybe they were able to say that, but I don't know. I'm not sure what the other Rishonim would be willing to say something. Not that the other Rishonim didn't have Abbas HaTorah, just that maybe we're more in tune with the reality on the ground. So, Sarchi, the Baal HaTos says. So is there any other Mahalach than to say Tos's numbers, to say that this is more versus less of course? So the Shach, and Yoredeya, and of all plays, the Nuchas Pidyon HaBen, claims that there's a different approach to this topic, and he based it on Rashi's Lashon. That Rashi in Maseches Ksubos Nafin Aleph, when the Gemara introduces Ger Katan, Rashi writes that the Beis Din are like the father of the Ger Katan. When the Gemara says that Ger Katan are Bilnos Adas Beis Din, so Rashi uses the Boshel. He says it's like the Beis Din is taking over; they become the father of the child. So the Shach says that's a very, very strange Lashon. What does it mean the Beis Din takes over as the father of a child? Where do we find such a concept that a stranger, that an outsider, someone who's not a biologic father, can step up to the plate and become in a sense like the father? So the Shach points out that we have such a precedent, we have such a concept in Maseches Kedushin and Dafim Beis. That's the sugya was called Apotropos. The Gemara derives from a series of psukim that if you have a child, Nebuch, the father passed away, and the child's got a lot of money, the child just inherited the entire estate. Kid's 5 years old, what's he going to do with all the money? He doesn't know what to buy and sell things. So the Gemara learns out from Sukkim that we are obligated to set up an apotropos, to set up a guardian. The Beis Din is required to step up and appoint somebody who's going to have full control over the children's nechasim. The Gemara says it's based on Sukkim in Pashas Maaseh. The Torah says, the Nasi Yechon, that each of the Shvatim had a Nasi who was in charge of dividing up the land of Eretz Yisrael. When they entered into Eretz Yisrael, so they were just half gavelt. So all of B'nai Naphtali walks into the Chelik of Naphtali, and then what? So you have to have someone who's doling out the land, who's carving up the land. You take this Chelik, you take that Chelik, the other Chelik. So that was the job of the Nasiim at the end of, that was designated at the end of Pashas Maaseh. So comes the Gemara and says that inevitably there were some Ketanim who are entering into Eretz Yisrael. There were some people whose parents had passed away. You had 600,000 people. You had to have some Yisomim. So the Gemara says, how could it be that you had Yisomim, you have kids under the age of Bar Mitzvah, and somebody's taking care of their property? The Nasi's giving them property. He's not getting the consent. They can't sign a consent form. They can't agree to what's going on. They're under the age of Bar Mitzvah. Bar Mitzvah, not getting Chedim. So they're under the age of Bar Mitzvah. So comes the Gemara and says, it must be that these Nasiim are working as agents of Beis Din. That means the Beis Din, Moshe Rabbeinu, had appointed Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Rabbeinu to appoint these Nasiim. And part of the job of the Nasiim was not just a divider for the Gedolim, it was a divider for the Ketanim as well. So you see that something which usually requires us, usually, if I have a share of these Nechasim, now you're going to tell me I'm going to get this land and I'm not going to get the other land, that usually requires my consent. So here the Torah says you don't need the consent of the Ketanim, they're underage, because the Torah sets up a system called Apotropos. So the Gemara says, from here we derive it in the Doris that any time you have any Yasom, any Yorish, who does not abide Das to take care of his own property, the Apotropos has to step to the plate. So that's a din that Nasa no Av. That's a din in the Yimominus, that an Apotropos becomes, in effect, the guardian of the child, and the Apotropos has certain legal powers that a regular person wouldn't have. The Gemara Maseches Gittin in the fifth parak discusses the scenario. You have an apotropos, and an apotropos is not only in charge of dollars and cents in terms of being a mom, but who's going to take care of the kashrus to make sure all the food that these kids are eating is kosher? So usually it's not such a big deal. So the apotropos goes to the store and buys them a chicken. But in Eretz Yisrael, let's say the kids have fields, and the fields are producing grain, they're producing fruit. So someone has to take trumosinaisis off of the produce in order for the kids to eat kosher food. Who's going to do that? The kid can't do that. The kid's under the age of a bar mitzvah. kid can't appoint the shaliach to do that, because the katan can't appoint the shaliach. So who's going to make sure that all the food is kosher? So that's what the Gemara says in Gittin, that's the apotropos's job. He has to be mafresh true, and nice on behalf of the child. So the Rishonim are getting involved with the question. The apotropos, he's not a bialim. He doesn't own the fruit. I can't go into your field and stop being mafresh true, and nice without your permission. So many of the Rishonim say, no, the answer is, that's the Gzeres HaKosov, Nasi Yechon, that the same way that the Torah gives shalit, the Torah gives authority to an apotropos to run the monetary affairs of the children, the Torah gives the apotropos to Koach to do the religious affairs as well, and even things that usually require das, that require the bialim to concede to, if it's being done under the supervision of the Beis Din, the Torah's apotropos, hey, das la'av, they're like the parents, they're mamish, they step up, they literally take over the property of the assignment. So the Shach in Hilchos Pidyon HaBen quotes this idea, and he says that's mistama what's going on here in Geirus as well. That we have the ability to become apotropsim on behalf of these children, but even though the regular rules of shlichos and zechi would break down because they're ketanim, and there's no shlichos for katan, there's no zechi for katan, zechi is mitam shlichos, but this is different. This is not an individual being zeche. If I would come and say, listen, I want to do a nice favor on behalf of the little 8-year-old kid, give me a present, and I'm going to pick it up and have in mind to be zeich on behalf of the 8-year-old kid. So min ha-tarid, that would be meaningless, says the Shach. Min ha-tarid is no shlich, is no zechi. You can't pull off such a stunt. But the Rabbanan, the Tovas HaKotan, they made it a corner, you can do that. But min ha-tarid, that doesn't work. So says the Shach, that doesn't work because I'm coming as an individual. But once I invoke once I wear the hat of Beis Din, once I'm coming with the Beis Din, then Uchas HaPetropos kicks in. And once Uchas HaPetropos kicks in, it works not only in Dina Mamanis, the same way it works in this and the Hetter for Tumas and Isis, it works for Geirus as well. This is the whole theory, a long, 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 long Shach in Uchas Pidyon HaBen, trying to explain to you what's going on. Why is the Shach in Uchas Pidyon HaBen? What's he talking about there? So he's talking about a situation where Namuch's father passed away. He never got around to doing Pidyon HaBen on his child. And the question is, the child's 5 years old, should we do Pidyon HaBen or not? So the post-game of a whole pilpul, does it make sense for us to do Pidyon HaBen on behalf of this child? So in the middle of that, the Shach discusses, what koach would we have? Who are we? So maybe we're the Beis Din. Maybe as we're koach Beis Din, maybe we can do the Pidyon HaBen. So that's the context of the discussion of the Shach. Akoparim, the Shach's idea is also difficult for us to understand. So we can understand conceptually the difference between when Beis Din is functioning and when an individual is functioning. We understand the Gzeres HaKos of Nasi. But Lechera, we're a little bit bothered with the fact that who exactly are we serving as an apotropos for? This kid, the kid's not Jewish. Means we're coming and we're trying to be a guy or a goyish kid and saying, what right do we have to act on behalf of the goyish kid? It's Uchas HaPetropos that allows us to do this. Uchas HaPetropos. There's a din of HaPetropos for Jewish children. Where do we find the Beis Din and we have to go run around the world, collect all the goyish orphans and take care of their property? There's a special din at the Beis Din. We're responsible to make sure that all the Jewish assignments are taken care of properly. But where do we find Beis Din and to go run around collecting gayra? Beis Din and to go run around buying and selling property for non-Jewish children also, that they'll take care of whatever that is. It's not our responsibility. So it's hard to invoke the principle of Nasi Yechon, the Gzeres HaKos of Nasi Yechon, Bechor Ein Lecha Bala Chedusha, we only find that Chiddush by Jewish children. So I understand that we could sell property for Jewish children. I understand that we could be Mafra Shumas and Isis for Jewish property. I understand that we could do Pidyon HaBen maybe on the Jewish children. But to tell us that we're going to invoke that principle to adopt the non-Jewish children, and we're going to say, well, it's based on Uchas HaPetropos, that's also a little bit hard to understand. So we're not doing well with this Ger Kotan story. We have it on the books, we know it exists. The very Shigmar exists. Ravuna, Sam, Ravuna, Gekotan, Bilnas, Odan, Beisdin. But we're having a lot of problems just putting it into a box, putting it into a category, just to defining where it comes from exactly. So if you hold that Zechiyah is not bound by the limitations of Shlichos, then the Shia is over. Then we can have a chakras, and you have a breakfast, whatever you want. But finish, the discussion's over. But if you hold that Zechiyah is not Shlichos, then you're really, really in a bind. So how in the world does this Shlichos / Zechiyah work if this child is obviously under the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah? So Taisa suggested Chus Gomer versus non-Chus Gomer. We weren't so sure we understood that. The Shach is suggesting the idea of Beis Din versus non-Beis Din. It's a nice idea, but we're not sure that it actually plays out over here. So we're having some difficulty identifying what the real source of this halacha is all about. So the Balei HaTosfos is not in the sugya of Yekotan and Daf Yud Aleph, but rather in a totally different Tosfos on the Daf Samaches and the Sefer Sanhedrin. So Tosfos comes up with the following theory, a very, very different theory behind the principle of Yekotan. Taisa says that maybe we misunderstood the whole picture of Ger Kotlin. Maybe we misunderstood the whole application of Zochin to Ger Kotlin. Says Taisa, we're not so sure that you even need the principle of Zochin Anshul Bafana, the Shlichas, and all these things we've been talking about to explain why Ger Kotlin works. What does normal Zochin mean? Zochin means a person in China. Guys, Mamish not here. Either literally in China or figuratively, he's not here. He's under the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah. So we're going to do a Maisa on their behalf. The child's not doing anything, or the grown up in that matter is not doing anything. We're going to do something on their behalf. They're not participating actively anyway whatsoever. That's the dinim. Those are the dinim of Zochin and of Shabbat Fanav. Whereas when it comes to the Ger Kotlin, it's not exactly what's happening. When it comes to Ger Kotlin, Gim is doing something. Gim is not sitting around in China and waiting for somebody to present him a token of Jewishness. The Gim is participating physically. He may be under the age of Bar Mitzvah, that's true. But the Gim is having a milah done to him. The Gim is having, he's going into the mikvah. He's coming out of the mikvah when? So it's nasa nice in begufa shel katan that the child is participating actively in the geirus. So says Tosfos, who says you need zachlam shel b'fanav? So Tosfos just did a 180 degree take on us. We thought that of course he needs zochin, and now we're trying to figure out how do you have zochin, how do you have zochin, how do you have zochin. We're giving this teretz, that teretz, the other teretz. Says Tosfos and Andrew, no, stop. Rephrase the whole thing. You don't even need zochin. The geirus is chawad out zochin. You know why? Because the kid's going into the mikvah. The kid's having a bris. So what do you want? So it's nas and nice and gufa shel katan. So the geirus is chawad without the din of zochin. So that's a gevaldik, a teretz. The only problem is it's overkill. Because if that's such a great teretz that the geirus is chal b'gufa shel katan, you don't even need zochin lanu shel b'fanav. So how come the Gemara said zochin lanu shel b'fanav? The Gemara says beferishing sivus amar avuna ki katan bat bilu saldas beizim. My time is zochin lanu shel b'fanav. The Gemara said zochin lanu shel b'fanav. So how does it help me? So if you want to say that zechiyah works for katan, the Gemara is great. If you want to tell me that zechiyah usually doesn't work, but this is schus gomar, good. If you want to tell me this is schus of beizdin, it's part of zochin, but it's a unique role of beizdin, also good. All the above shatim that it's something to do with zochin lanu shel b'fanav, so I understand why the Gemara said zochin lanu shel b'fanav. But if you hold that ger katan is nothing to do, it's separate and distinct from all the dinim of zechiyah, because it's not a ma'aseh of guf shel katan. So what's the Gemara drawing us a cup and talking about zochin lanu shel b'fanav? So comes Tosfos and says, no, I'll tell you the answer, that we totally misread the Gemara. Not misread, chil v'yatzayf. Said, when the Gemara says, zochin lanu shel b'fanav, that's not the reason why the halacha works. That's just the Gemara asking a different question than Gamri. This is not the halachic part of the Gemara. The halachic part of the Gemara is, Amar Rav Huna, ke'kot madbilos odaz beisin. How does that work? Because nasa ma'isa b'guf shel katan. The Gemara doesn't even explain how it works. It's obvious. Of course that's how it works. It works because the kid's going to the mikvah. What's the shayla? So why is the Gemara introduced the concept of Zochid, the Lord Shulchan, to confuse us? Says Tyson, said Andrew, the Gemara is asking a different question, not a halachic question. The Gemara is asking a question, why are we doing such a silly thing? Since when are we in the business of going ahead and doing things for people when they don't even have a chance to agree? Let the kid wake up when he turns 13, he wants to be Jewish, or come and be a guy. What are we doing? What are we getting? Why do we do things for people if no one asked us to do things? So that's what Taisa says. Oh, you see from the fact that the Torah gave the din of Zach Lev Shal B'fanav, that the Torah is okay with us doing things on behalf of other people. We can step up to the plate. We can act on behalf of other people if it's something that's nice, if it's something that's beneficial. If we're doing the guy a favor, then let's do people favors. That's fine. But the Gemara never meant to say that Zochin Lanu Shel B'fanav is the reason, is the mechanics, is the formula how this principle works. The Geirus is Chal based on a different principle of Gamar. It's based on the principle of Nasa Maisim, Gufa Shel Katan. It's not based on Zochin Lanu Shel B'fanav. Zochin Lanu Shel B'fanav is the sociological excuse why we're doing what we're doing. Well, the social workers are coming there, asking, what are you guys doing? Why are you taking a non-Jewish kid and you're putting him to the mikvah? Who put you in charge to do things for other people? So the answer is, who put us in charge? The dinner with Zochin Lanu Shel B'fanav permit us to do things which are beneficial for people. It doesn't mean that's the halachic mechanism. The halachic mechanism would fail if it's based on that. Zochin Lanu Shel B'fanav is the psychological, sociological, historic, economic, whatever you want to call it, reason why we're allowed to do things which sound very, very bizarre. To go take a non-Jewish kid to convert him, make mecha teisim, make letters by mitzvah. So the answer is Zochin Lanu Shel B'fanav encourages us or permits us to do such seemingly otherwise strange things. But halachically, how does it work? It has nothing to do with Zochin. It has to do with a different klal called Nasa Maisim Gufa Shel Katan. So a kopanim, we have a major, major machlekes harishonim now, whether we're even learning the right sugya. Today's shiur was the application of Zachar and Shlomo Fanav to Ger Kotel. So now we have a question: is that even a correct application? Is that even the topic? So according to the simple reading of the Gemara, the answer is yes. And again, the easiest way to understand the Gemara is to say that there is Zachar for a Kotel in a Torah. That's simple. That's hands down. If you go that approach, that Zachar is not mitam shlichos, then you're home free. Then everything works. Everything's perfect. But if you hold that Zachar is mitam shlichos, and you still want to say it's based on Zachar, then you got a lot of work to do. But that whole camp of Rishonim that is suggesting that the Gemara should be understood kipshuto, that Zachar Leonard Shlomo Fanav is the mechanism, is the rationale of this halacha, that's only one approach. The other approach is Tosfos and Sanhedrin's suggestion that maybe it's based on something entirely different. It's this halacha of Ger Katan that now introduces us to the next halacha, which is also relevant in the sugya of Zachar Leonard Shlomo Fanav, and that's as follows. The Gemara says in Bava Basra, the eighth parak, that even in a situation where I do something that's beneficial for you, so let's say a classic case, you're over by mitzvah. I sense that you probably want to receive a present, so I go ahead and Reuven, I say, Reuven, do me a favor, pick up this present on behalf of Shimon. Shimon's in China right now. He'll be a nice guy, pick it up for him, he'll own the present now. Good. So now Shimon picks it up. 6 months later, Reuven comes back from China. And he said, I tell him the good news, you won't believe this, but I was mezakeh a brand new car to you, shouldn't have made a nice kidding for you, now you're the owner, you're the recipient of the brand new car. And Reuven says, what? That kind of car is a terrible car, I don't want that car, too much gas, I don't want that car, terrible, don't do me any favors, please, I never want to see such a car. So the question is, now what? So at the time that I did the nice kidding on your behalf, I was a nice guy. It was objectively a good thing. I would never do anything that's detrimental for you. I really thought that it was a good thing. And the truth is, if you take 9 out of 10 people and ask them, would you like to have a car for free? So most people would say, probably, yeah, that's a good thing. Whereas Reuven has a mishigas. He doesn't like that car. Or he doesn't like me. He says, I don't want to have any cars of you. I don't like you, Rabbi. I don't want to have anything to do with you. Sonim etan is yichya. People who don't take presents are the ones who live for a long time. I don't want to take that car. Now, what do you do? So, at the time of the kinyan, it looked like a zuchos. And again, 99% of the people would view it as a zuchos. But the one important vote is the dissenting vote, the one who was the supposed recipient of the gift. He votes and says, no, he's not interested in the gift. What do you do? So the Gemara says that it depends. If he first said, thank you very much, I'm really going to enjoy the car, and then he starts driving it for an hour, and he says, I don't like this car. So then tough. Then he's tough with the car. He wants to give it away, he wants to be mafkid, give it to the Beis Hamikdash, give it to cars for kids. I don't know, whatever he wants to do it, he can do whatever he wants with the car. But 1-800. But Lamais, he's the owner, he's the balabas of the car. Because Bishah, at the beginning, when he first found out that he was the recipient of the car, he was nichola, he was happy with the car. But what if he's Meicha Meikar? What if from day one, the minute that he hears about this car, he comes down, he sees there's a car in the driveway, goes ballistic, says, who gave me this car? I never want to see this car again. So then it turns out that he gloyed Muslim afraid, it was never Zechus all along. So as long as he was Meicha Betchila, he was Meicha Meikara, so that undoes the entire Zechus. It turns out the gloyed Muslim said there never was Zechus, there never was a Kenyan, the whole thing is Balkal Mavuto. So it all depends on at what point he's Meicha. If he's Meicha, he protests immediately, that undoes the Zechus, and he protests later, so then the Kinyan was chal, and then he's stuck with the car unless he wants to dispose of it in some whatever tachya kinyan or hefker or hektish, whatever he wants to do with it. So with this background, now we have to begin to understand the Gemara in Maseches Ketubos and Daf Yud Aleph. The Gemara tells us there's this great halacha called Ger Katan, but there's an important limitation in Ger Katan. What if the child, immediately when he turns bar mitzvah, or the girl turns bar mitzvah, they say, listen, you know, it's very nice of you to think you're doing me a favor by giving me a life of Torah mitzvahs, but I'll tell you the truth, you know, I have other plans in life. I'm not interested in being Jewish, I don't want to go to yeshiva, I don't want Shabbos, kashrus, I don't get up to daven shachris, it's not for me. I'm much more, much happier with living as a guy. So the Gemara says, that the child at that age, when he turns by mitzvah, has the ability to be moicha. They can protest, and if they protest, then the whole geirus is null and void. So the Gemara says the same pizman. The Gemara says that kevin sheigdilu shoachas lomichu shuven yochal limchais. When can they be moicha? That's if they're moicha immediately upon turning by mitzvah. If they're moicha later, let's say, when they turn by mitzvah, they get a really nice party and get a lot of presents and say, you know, this is pretty good, I like this. And the first couple of days, okay, you know, we'll go along with this, it's nice. We just came back from Eretz Yisrael, we had a nice trip, everyone's happier, you know, this is a pretty good religion. But then, when things start to pile on them, they say, wait, it's not so simple anymore. I have to get up every morning to put on tefillin. I thought it was just once every few weeks. So every Shabbos I got to keep, you know, not so simple. So after a couple of days, they say, no, you know, we're not interested in this religion anymore. So the Gemara says, that, then they can't be meicha. That came and she gdilu sh'achas l'michu shuvin yichal l'mchas. So that, chiluk, that distinction that the Gemara says, that you can't be meicha if you're meicha right away, if you protest right away, but you can't if you waited a little bit longer after the higdilu. So that distinction seems to be almost the exact same distinction as the Gemara of Basra in the realm of Kinyanim. The same way that you can be meicha on the matana immediately, so you can be meicha on the geiris immediately. The same way that you can't be meicha on the matana after some time has elapsed, so too you can't be meicha on the geiris. You have to, at one time, you initially conceded to the geiris. So it sounds like the exact same halacha is playing out in the realm of momentous and playing out in the realm of his geiris. So that's what many Rishonim say. All the Rishonim learned that the geiris of the ger katan is predicated on zechia, so they're learning, that's exactly what the Gemara is saying. That's based on regular zechizach l'mshol b'fanav. Just as regular zechizach l'mshol b'fanav is limited by the fact that higdil yichal l'mchos, that once you're mochen, that undoes the zechia, and that macho has to be immediate. All the halachas of chesh mishpat of the dinamis are spilling over to your day at l'chaz geiris. It's perfect analysis. But what if you hold the other way? What if you hold like Tyson's and Hedrin? The get caught that has nothing to do with Zachar Shalom Afanov. That Zachar Shalom Afanov fails us here because he's a katan and Zachir's mitam shlichos and this is the basin doesn't help and Kez Chos Kadma doesn't help and all the answers of the above don't help. And therefore Tyson's and Hedrin had to go fishing and come up with a whole new rationale of this din that's not based on Zachar. It's based on Nasev Gufashal Katan. If it's based on Nasa Maisev Gufa Shokotan, so then how do we understand the Gemara in Ksubas Lafir Aleph? How could the Gemara say, Higdili Yichalom Limchos? Since when can you undo a Geiris? Once a person converts, a Gadol converts, 25-year-old man converts, and then a year later he says, I don't want to be Jewish anymore. So Mishagas, the Gemara says, Befeirish, then he's a Yisrael Mumar. He's like any other Jew who decides to go off the Derech. Once you're Jewish, can't go back on being Jewish. So if Tosis and Sanhedrin and Samachas is right, that the geirus of a ger katan is not based on zochel shel b'fanav. Zochel shel b'fanav fails us here. It's based on regular geirus, not a ma'ase b'gufa shel katan. So how could he back out? What's shaykh to back out from the geirus? So Tosfos and Sanhedrin are searching and searching and searching, and Tosfos comes up with another theory. Tosfos says, We misunderstood the whole Gemara from beginning to end, says Tosfos. You thought that the geirus is based on zochus and zochel shel b'fanav. I just showed you that's wrong. You thought that the fact that you could back out from the geiris is based on the fact that you could undo his chus, that's also wrong. Why can you back out from the geiris? For a different din legamer. Says Tosfos, when a gadol converts, so we spoke a lot about this on Shavuos night, when a grown-up converts, there are three parts of the geiris, for a man, two parts for a woman. There's the mila for the man, there's the tevila for both the man and the woman, and then there's the kabbalas mitzvahs. They have to express their intent, they want to sincerely accept upon themselves to perform the mitzvahs. Comes to us and says, when a katan converts, so you have mila, you have tevila, but where's the kabbalas mitzvahs? Who's doing kabbalas mitzvahs? The kid's 10 years old. So you ask him, do you accept upon yourself you're going to keep Shabbos? He says, yeah. So it doesn't mean anything. The kid's a lot more das. What do you mean he's mekabel mitzvahs? So when is the kabbalas mitzvahs according to Taisus? So Taisus, I'll tell you when the kabbalas mitzvahs is. The kabbalas mitzvahs is when the child turns bar mitzvah. When the boy turns bar mitzvah, when the girl turns bas mitzvah, then they have to express kabbalas mitzvahs. That's the last point. That's the machmepatish of the geirus. So ger katan magdilus odas beizdin means we can do the mila when they're a kid. We can do the tefillah when they're a kid. We'll do everything when they're a kid. Then when they turn bar mitzvah, then they can do the kabbalas mitzvahs. How does kabbalas mitzvahs play out? So we usually think kabbalas mitzvahs is an entire ceremony. The person has to come in front of Beis Din, make a whole declaration. Nah, Taisa says they don't have to do that. They come to shul and put on tefillah in the morning. That's the kabbalas mitzvahs. The girl comes to, she keeps Shabbos, she keeps kosher. That's called the kabbalas mitzvahs. That's it. You don't need a formal kabbalas mitzvahs. The fact that you're doing the mitzvahs, that's called the kabbalas mitzvahs. What would constitute a lack of kabbalas mitzvahs? If I'm machor, if the child says, I don't want to daven anymore, I don't want to keep Shabbos, I don't want to keep kosher anymore, that's called an e-kabbalas mitzvahs, that's a non-kabbalas mitzvahs. So comes Tyson and says, the role of higdil yicharon limchos has nothing to do with zachar shalom afanav. It's not our sugya. It's nothing to do with the sugya of zachar shalom afanav, because the whole gear katan is not predicated on zachar, because zachir is mitam shlichas, and there's no shlichas for katan, no zachir for katan. So Tyson says, we missed the boat on the entire sugya in Ksubas. It's based on a regular gerus. It's like a gerus of a gadol, because nasa ma'isa b'gufa shel katan. The only difference is that it's lacking kabbalas and mitzvahs. Kabbalas and mitzvahs will be made up at the age of 13, but if the child chooses not to do kabbalas and mitzvahs, then it turns out there was taka no gerus. Then it's like any other gerus without kabbalas and mitzvahs, which is batel muvuto. So comes to us and says, mitchilav yatzarif, we misunderstood, we missed the boat on the entire sugya of ger katan. So on kabbalah, we have two radically different approaches in the Rishonim how to understand Ger Katan, and the whole Machlokes is really a continuation of last week's year. Is there Zechiah for Katan? Is there no Zechiah for Katan? In passing, we saw another important piece of information about Zechiah. We saw the ability to undo a Zechiah. We saw that you could do something which is a schos for a person. Remember the Basra? I can give a present to somebody, and then the guy comes and says, I don't want that present. So he's mevatel the schos, lemafreya, retroactively, the whole thing is null and void. So that principle of undoing a zechiyah, are there any limitations on that? So there is a Rashba that appears in Maseches Kedushin, where in the first parak, where the Rashba suggests the following distinction. The Rashba says, he prefaces his comments by saying, Lulei de Mistafina. If I wouldn't be afraid, I would say the following. And then he tells what he says. I guess he wasn't afraid. So he says, but I'm afraid. I'm nervous to say it because nobody else said it, says the Rashba. Lulei de Mistafina, I would say it as follows. But man, the Ramamurim, where do we find the Rabbi Basra that a person can undo a zechiyah? So, strange thing, it was a zechiyah. We paskened up, it was a zechus. We paskened, it was beneficial. And then the guy comes and says, I don't want that car. So all of a sudden, the zechus is easy come, easy go. Says the Rashba, the man, the Rabbi Wurim, that's like in the realm of matanas. That's the case that Gemara's talking about. Because the matana is not an absolute positive thing. I mean, most people, we took a survey. Most people do like to receive gifts. On the other hand, not everybody. Not everyone likes to get gifts. Some people, sonam etanas yichya. Some people just, they don't want to be meshuvah. They don't want to be obligated to you. I'm not interested in accepting gifts. So that's within the realm of reason. That not everybody likes to accept gifts. So when we have an action, I want to do something which is objectively beneficial, but we understand that it may not be subjectively beneficial. We understand that your objection to receiving a gift is realistic. Whenever you're dealing with such a type of activity, so then the din of zchus kick in and say, well, we're allowed to do it on your behalf, assuming that it's going to be okay, but you have the right to object. If you choose to tell us afterwards that you're not interested, as long as you tell us right away, not dray a week later, if you tell us immediately, I don't want that car in my driveway, so then that undoes the zchus. But says the Rashba, what if something is an absolute zchus? It's a joke to say it's not a zchus. Nobody in their right mind would say this is not a zchus. So the Rashba says, when you have what's called a zchus gomor, almost like Taisa setting subas, when you have a zchus gomor, then the ability to be meicha doesn't exist. Then you can't undo a zchus. You can only undo a zchus when what you're saying makes sense. What you're saying makes absolutely no sense. Then it's like butler died to wait till das kolodim. You're going to say it's not a zchus? I'm sure you're saying. Everybody knows. Anan Sade, we polled 1,000 people, and all 1,000 said that it's called a zchus. You're Mishulman, you say it's not a schos, but you're saying it's meaningless in Aloha. So the Rashba is not sure, he doesn't have a right, he doesn't have a mocha for this, but he suggests there's a possibility that maybe when you're in the realm of schos gomor, maybe things change. Why is this important for us, the Halacha? The Chassam Sofer discusses in a tshuva, what if you have a situation where we do a gerus for a ger katan, and it's an unbelievable schos. It's not just the regular schos of being Jewish, but it's an unbelievable schos. She'en kamoi. What's the case of an unbelievable schos? So Chassam Sofer discusses a shiloh. What if you have an entire Goyisha family decides they want to convert? So the husband, the wife, the older children, they happen to have one kid under the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah. So you all convert together. So says the Chassam Sofer, imagine when this kid who converted when he was 5 years old, he's going to come to us when he turns by mitzvah and say, I don't want to be Jewish. He's mamish b'shuma. He's crazy. He said his whole family converted. So where's he going to go? He's 30. He's going to go live somewhere. What's he going to do? His whole family is from. They're all Shomer Torah mitzvahs. And this kid's going to be a goy living in a Jew's home. Doesn't make any sense. If we stop, we find the kid in the street, the goyisha kid, and we tell him and we say, okay, we're going to convert you. Maybe good, maybe bad. So he may say, I don't want to live with you. I'll live with another. I'm adopted. I'll live in another adopted family. I'll go to a goyisha family. What do I have to be bothered with Torah mitzvahs for? So I understand that consideration, that maybe that's not an absolute 100% school. So maybe the child has a right to opt out. But if the child was converted together with his whole family, says the Chassam Sofer, would anybody in their right mind say, you get all the social workers in the world together and say, is this good for him or is it no good? Everyone's going to say it's good. Of course it's good for him to be part of his family. Of course he's his biological family. Of course he should stay together with them. The Hechadeis, he should leave them. So says the Chassam Sofer, now we would be very weary. Could we let such a person be Moicha? Could we let such a person be uprooted as Chus? So if the Rashba is right, and we have a problem here, if the Rashba is right, then you can't uproot such a zchus, because once a zchus is a zchus gomor, then it's not needed to be moicha. That's assuming that igdil yichal mimchos is based on akiras zchus. It's based on the undoing of his zchus. If you go to the root of Tyson Sanhedrin, that igdil yichal mimchos is based on a lack of kabbalas mitzvahs. Lack of kabbalas mitzvahs. So it's not a lack of kabbalas mitzvahs. The kid's not Jewish. So we're not sure how to pass on such a shayla. So we wouldn't want to deal with such a shayla. We'd have a big, big problem on such a shayla. Because if the child's going to uproot the geirus, according to half the Rishonim, the kid's still Jewish, whether he likes it or not. And only according to the other Rishonim, well, he's missing the kabbalas mitzvahs. So then tough, and the geirus is going to be botel. So again, these are some very serious shayla. These shayla do happen. And once in a while, these shayla do play out in terms of Ilchus Geirus, and a lot of the shaylas are ultimately rooted in last week's shiurim in terms of the chashem mishpat dimension of the sugya. So kopanim, we can make a siyum on the zochlan shalom fun of sugya, which was really the continuation of the shlichus sugya. So we can make a big siyum, donuts next week. I know, change the shiur after davening to get the donuts in, but whatever it is. So I think we pretty much finished for our purposes the sugyas of shlichus and zechiyah and the relationship between the two, the limitations of both of them. But Hashem, next week we'll begin a different series of subjects.